Okay, in this little break, I'm going to put myself on the stack and ask if anybody else wants to be on the stack now.
Did you have McFadden on the stack?
I have you, McFadden. I'm coming back to you. I hear Susan.
Yes.
Anybody else? Okay, and Susan, I'll let you go ahead of me. And Bertol, did you want to respond any further to our poll about the issue of regular employee versus consultant?
Yeah, we are aware of it. Some of them are more problematic than others, and some of them, are debatable. Like a webmaster doesn't come on the AI. It doesn't have to be. I understood that if you're not on, I guess with COVID now, people are working remotely, you're not sure exactly what the laws are. But in the past, like if somebody, this guy never comes to the station. I mean, he's been around for three years. He came to the station twice, maybe. And then he works from home, and then he has other clients that he's working with, and then, call him at specific times that he puts aside for us to make sure that our website is working. So I would not consider that a solid consultant, for example. That's one of our biggest expenses. So, I mean, there are some others, which we can work on, to improve the situation, but this one specifically. As far as also the people who pitch, these are people who are specialists, who know what they're doing, and then they come in, they give you a one-hour pitch for a specific amount of money, and then you play that on the air and make money. So that person is not really working for it. This person is, is a specialist who do a service, and then gives you a product, and then you pay them for it. So people are pitching to raise money. I really don't think that's a consultant. The other ones, we can definitely discuss, and then you have a solid point as far as people who replace the board app or something like that. But as far as those two categories, which are the two big ones, I don't see them as anything other than consultants. And I've double-checked that a few times, nobody's ever really 100% sure, but I think those two items are not consultants. Are consultants, for sure.
Thank you, R. Paul. McFadden?
Yeah, I have some short questions.
Oh, sorry.
No, Susan McFadden was on before.
I apologize. You're right. Got it.
No worries. Go ahead, McFadden.
I have some short questions for you, Bertol.
Yes.
I thought I heard you say $178,000 per consultant. Is that correct? Because the spreadsheet I have says $120,000.
Yeah, 120. I was looking at the consultant.
Okay. 120 is the number. And and you just said in describing something else, you just said that the board ops were a total of 17,000 of that 120,000. So a small percentage of that, only about, about 13-14% of that 120,000 are actually board ops. So that's not what I'm interested in. I'm interested in the other $100,000 in consultant, what is the primary, consultant paying for? Is it for the website, or is it,
I have the numbers for you. Okay, so 3% is cleaning and
I don't care about the little ones. I just want the big ones.
32%, which is going to be lower because one of them is no longer 11,000 out. So if you do that, would be 27% is morning hosts. Okay.
So these are just hosts that aren't normal staff that you have to bring in somebody.
Yes, they just do one hour. Like we have a morning host for each morning, 7 a.m.
Okay, that's. Yeah. Okay, that's 33%. I'm just want to get make sure.
And then 55% is what you call development, webmaster, social media, the newsletter and stuff like that, and the fund drive pitching. The fund drive pitching is probably the, you know, the fund drive pitching.
So that 55% is actually several different jobs with several different people, or is it a single person?
No, it's
that development.
Yeah, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different.
Several different. And are they like, individual contractors, so they're just working for themselves, or are they through some kind of service?
Yeah, they're individual contractors. The webmaster, individual contractor, the newsletter.
Okay, that's good enough. And so then my last question is, in this budget, when I see round numbers like $10,000 a month for consultants, it's never round numbers. So the question I have is for the 2022, what was the actuals on consultants? Not that's projected for 2023. What is the actuals for 2023?
I sent an email that had that information a while back.
Yeah, I have to.
Sorry to interrupt. I did that.
Yeah. Can I get back to you on that? I'm going to look, and then I will get you that answer in a few minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You go to the next person.
Okay. Thank you, McFadden. Susan, go ahead.
Yeah. First of all, let me just express my disappointment in this committee. We're looking at revenues that total $1.2 million in FY22 and are projected to be $1.525 million in FY23. And we talked about very little about it. I mean, the advertising campaign or whatever. We're talking about expenses that were $1.3 million in FY22 and now $1.4 million in FY to propose for 23. And we have spent, what, an hour on the consultant stuff? It's not that that isn't important. It is important about 1099s and are we treating people fairly and what happens with vacation. We are not looking at this budget as a whole. We're focusing on little tiny nits and gnats, and I am disappointed. I will tell you that I am voting against this budget, sending it forward. KPFT is now making central services payments. This budget does not provide for making central services payments. So on that basis alone, beyond the question of whether this is realistic or clearly understood or identified, I will be voting no. And by the way, I sent out a chart that shows the comparisons of FY22 actuals to Berthold's budget, and it shows that it is very hard to do a crosswalk between the line items he lists in 2023 and the line items that are in the 2022 actuals. Thank you.
All right. Susan Young, it is, right?
Jack.
Yes.
This is Sharon.
I'd like to address.
I got you, Sharon. I'm going to be next. You'll be after me. And Julie.
Okay. And Julie, please.
Okay, I got Sharon. I got me, Sharon, and Julie. And who else was there? Nobody. Okay. And go ahead, Berto. You wanted to respond, I think.
Yeah, obviously. So the difference is $321,000 between the consolidated and the budget, okay? If you add the PSA, $115,000, I mean, you can challenge the PSA if you want and say, okay, remove that, then it will remove that. The theater ticket is $40,000 more than event. So you're saying that you're basically adding another $185,000 to the budget. So you can challenge that. That's fine. And I think you have a right to do that and discuss it. So then that gives you the difference now is of $136,000 increase. Well, the consolidated has the actuals of last year. It might be a little lower, but I understand that. I'm saying that I'm putting my foot down as the daily average of money we're raising has to be $3,100. We cannot go below that, and that's why, you know, you have that extra, that difference, $136,000. You know, so that I'm putting down that $3,100 a day has to be. The limit, the lowest we go, and that's adding another $11,000 a month, and that gives you $136,000. And these are your differences between the consolidated and the budget. Now you can challenge the PSAs. We have some facts up to January that we are trending that way. The theater tickets, we have the numbers, we're trending that way, and the events. Now we have two events we did. We have a bunch of them planned. So that's the revenue. So, Suzanne, I wish you had called me also, because I was waiting for your call. Anxiously waiting for your call so that we could go over these things. If the committee wants this thing done, line by line comparison, it's going to take a lot of time for me to get together with Markeisha. And that's always been the problem. I am available, even though I'm plugging in 12, 13 hours a day anyways, but I'm available to do that. I know it's impossible for Markeisha to put more hours into this. Even Netta did not have the time to do it, and I've asked them for that quite a few times.
Okay, now it's my turn on the stack. So I'm going to just follow up on that a little bit and say that, yes, when we had Julia from Netta and the entire support staff that she had with Netta, I don't know, they had numerous people working there with her. They, after spending hours and hours trying to match up line by line try and match the WBI figures with the NETA figures, they got it down to about 1%, maybe sometimes 2%. Bertel, I think you go a little too far when you say 3 or 4%. When they really went at it and they included the accruals, the difference between Netta and WBI was very small, and there just wasn't time for them to do that on a regular basis. And now we're talking about trying to get Markeisha to do this, who is, we've already discussed, you know, being highly tasked, and I don't think it's realistic to expect that. And, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, we can ask Bertel to do it, but I think that's not a good use of his time. Anyway, I had some other things I wanted to ask about. I think our call made it pretty clear that it's not California law with the difference between consultants and employees. It's New York law and federal law. And we know that many of the people that we are listing as consultants make their own hours. They do recordings on their own time. They don't have to report to the workplace. They work when and for how long and in what manner that they want to. They use their own equipment, most of them. So there might be some fine lines in some places, but overall, I don't think there's any great danger there. And I know that this has been something that gets brought up over and over again, but it seems we always come out on the right side of it. What else? I wanted to ask about the capital budget, $25,000 for the capital budget. I asked you to remove that. I don't think I've seen other budgets recently in Pacifica where they put in a capital budget. That's $25,000. It increases the deficit from $140,000 to $165,000. So could you comment a little bit about the capital budget?
Yes. So, you know, this budget I mean, it's a budget, you know, so we do prediction, we have formulas, things that, you know, we put together, and then, you know, you, we have this document. Now, sometimes I'm aware that in the revenue side, things go up a little bit, and the expense side, you know, if, for example, in the expense side, there is there's an expense that's about that I put about at $20,000, which is expense for processing theater tickets, special events theater tickets. And, you know, when I looked at the amount of money I spent on this past 12 months, I only spent $6,500. Now, and I know exactly why that is. Theater tickets, we used to have formerly incarcerated people come to the station, and this, as a form of community outreach, come to the station to answer the phone when we offer theater tickets so that we can collect the information so that we can bill the people and for the credit cards. Ever since COVID and all that stuff, that went away. So the person who's doing the theater tickets took it upon himself to have people send him emails and collect all that information and send it to us to process. And then it was, you know, like, or sometimes you get some books and stuff, and then it will send us a minor bill. So the bill between $6,500 that I paid the person versus $21,000 in the budget, I know that I could just go and change it and reduce it to $6,500. But I know in some other places, you know, there might be variances. So to be on the cautious side, I left that $21,000 in special events. So that's the same. This is the same thing. For as far as capital expenditure, you know, we've had things that broke down. You know, so you can see the budget though before capital expenditure at 140 and 144, and the capital expenditure is this lease, building improvement 10,000, that's 833 a month, antenna fixing 150 accrued a month. So that's 1,800. I mean, we did have some problems there. We had to fix it, transmitter. So that's why I put that line after the net income loss. So you can take it as the net income loss as being minus 144, or you can take it as being minus 170, and or you can say it's minus 144, and then we're never going to be fixing computers or anything like that this year. You know, but I just put it as a cautionary tale that this is something that, you know, we might have something that breaks down. We bought two computers last year to replace the main computers for broadcasting.
I'm happy with that answer. Unless you're really desperate to go on, I have a couple of other quick questions.
Something came up quickly. I didn't want to forget anymore. I'm sorry. Quickly, you know, the WBI doesn't have volunteers. That is overstated. We have a lot of volunteers. We have the guy who comes and fixes the computers at the station at all times. You know, 2 o'clock in the morning if something breaks down. GC, he doesn't get paid a penny. We have the person who is representative to the FCC, you know that's the technician that's officially representing WBAI. You know, this guy's salary is probably like $200,000 at other places where he works. He's doing this for free. So we do have we have volunteers. It's just like in the form, we're not presenting it in a form that people really see. But these are volunteers. We have a bunch of them.
Bertha, I'm going to ask you to let me go ahead to my other question. I'll just limit it to this one basic question. In the past, our deficit per month was swinging between, in a very good month, maybe 20,000 up to as much as 30,000 a month. I said that backwards. In a good month, we would be 20,000, and in a bad month, we would be up to $30,000 of deficit per month. Obviously, that's not sustainable. We can't keep doing that. The initiatives, and I'm not counting the theater tickets because people are now, theaters are opening and we're able to do that. I'm not talking about events and other things of that sort. I'm talking just about the PSAs, the public service announcements we're getting from the Transportation Department, from the Health Department. It's my understanding that you're getting about $18,000 a month from them. Is that right?
Yes. I think this past 2 months we've gotten about $25,000, $26,000 in total, you know,
okay,
for the two. I think that bled over, yeah.
All right, so let's say maybe $20,000 average over a slightly longer period of months. So that's maybe perhaps all of, or up to maybe two-thirds of our current previous deficit per month. Now, that deficit per month, was that just the operating deficit, or was that the deficit including the central services?
That's including the central services.
Thank you. And so based on this budget, and especially – when you did what I suggested, like everybody else seems to do, take out the capital budget, we actually had the possibility of paying central services in 2023. Do you still see that on the horizon? I won't say of paying all the central services based on a 15 or a 16% formula, but we would have been paying some central services.
Yeah.
Where do you see that going? Because I don't see it as, I'll tell you right here publicly, I don't see it as sustainable for WBI to continue to not pay any central services. It's just not sustainable. And it's
okay,
not for KPFK either.
Yeah, let me respond a cautionary, as you know I am. If we maintain about 2,100 fundraising per day on an average, as we projected, if what's happening with the Department of Health and the Department of Transportation continues as is, and if our outreach to the Department of Sanitation, reaches out to them for the same thing. I mean, I have a few city council people contact and stuff like that we're working on, but we wanted to, you know, get the Department of Health and Transportation first. If we can get the sanitation, so that's about, $7,000 a month each. That would be like $21,000 additional to what we usually do, something that we never expected before. And if the application that I'm filing right now, for the New York City Council discretionary fund, if that works in any way, shape, or form, whatever money that brings in, that would definitely alleviate a lot of our issues. For the discretionary fund, the idea would be that any money that comes in, that's some money we didn't expect at all, we would just send it all to the national office. We usually do that when we get a big chunk of money, we just send it to the national office. But these are ifs. You know, I just wanted to be, you know, cautious to say that I'm not selling any dream, but if you work hard, if these things hold, that, yes.
All right. I want to point out that we are now just about at our time certain, and we have several people still on the stack, and I'd like to hear if Stephanie has any questions as well. I'm not – I guess I am putting Stephanie on the spot. I'd like to hear if she has any questions for Bertolt. But could we have a motion to extend? I'm thinking
Julie,
maybe.
Julie, motion to extend for 15.
Thank you, Julie. Is there any objection? Hearing none, we'll go for another 15. And we are now at Sharon, I think. Was it your turn, Sharon?
I thought Julie was ahead of me.
Or was it Susan?
Well, I just have something quick, actually. I just wanted to answer James's question. I did send the email earlier about the actuals for the consultants for 22, and it was in the email, it said it was $178,000. That was the actual. And that was what I wanted to say. And then the other thing I wanted to just say is I will not be voting for this budget because it doesn't seem that the numbers are correct. I mean, it should at least reflect the actual consultants. And also, I think we need to have, it would be helpful to have a comparison of the actual expenses and income of last year set next to the projections in this budget. That's very helpful. That's how our business manager does it when we're looking at the budgets, and it makes it easier to process the information. That's all I had to say.
Thank you. Okay, Julie.
Thanks. Bertold, you've talked about raising something on the order of $3,100 a day on when you do on-air fundraising. When you run into a day where, or maybe even a stretch of days where you don't hit that target, what do you do to make up for it? Or is that what amounts to the difference between, you know, as Sagerton said a few moments ago, you know, the months where the deficit is 20,000 versus the months where the deficit is 30,000? Does that just reflect, you know, a bunch of days where the on-air fundraising didn't go as planned? And so what do you do, just in a nutshell, when things don't go as well as planned?
Okay, thank you very much. That's an excellent question. The idea, the ability to do a daily fund drive and actually to monitor this hour by hour, which is, you know, crazy. That's the program director and I, we do that all day long. We have like 2-3 hours that we schedule, and then we look at how much money comes in. Sometimes we would do an emergency, if it's a show is pre-recorded, and we're like, well, you know, we're going to just go here, and then we're going to put a fundraiser. Or we've been planning to do like a monthly special days, like Martin Luther King Day. You know, like a women's history month day, like a Black History Month day, and that kind of stuff, to raise that kind of money. On top of that, you know, we have a little thing that we do called we call it the Tower Fund, which is the Tower Fund is $17,000 a month. We need to raise the whole 17 times 12 months, so we don't have to worry about losing broadcast signal. You know, it's been very successful last year. This year, not so much. You know, so we had to, you know, there was not enough energy put into this. And there were other things going on. So, that's an excellent question. You know, it gives us the ability to track day by day, hour by hour, how well we're doing. And then we can make modifications. We're not making modifications enough to do that. And that's why some days, some months are lower, as you said, as James Sargerton mentioned. Producers do understand that. Stephanie and the board, our resolution, I was working to Stephanie a little bit, and then the management meeting, talking about what we expect from producers from a show. We expect $300 to $350 per hour of show on the air. Even when you're not doing fundraising, you should be doing fundraising. I have a regular show and raising money. You know, the idea is to have about $350 coming in per hour per show, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that would do it. So we know some shows don't raise that money. We know a midnight show is not going to raise as much money as a 7 a.m. prime time hour. Belinda and I were working on the grid to have to grade maybe at 7 a.m. it should be 500, and at midnight it should be 150, and it should all add up to $350 per hour of show, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So these are the goals, you know, and these are difficult things to push because the producers, you know, it's like, well, it's a lot of pressure that we're putting on them. But thank you very much for that question.
Okay, Julie, you got some long answers there. Did you have any other questions?
No, that's good. Thanks.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, on the stack, Susan.
I saw you, Susan. I saw that. Right. And now we have McFadden.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have your answer, McFadden.
So am I good to go here?
Yeah, Bertolt said something. I didn't hear what it was. What was that, Bertolt?
I have the answer for you, my friend. The
consultant
due to a consultant from last year. It's $168,059. The projection of 120 is a social media person, $31,000 is gone. And we had another 11,000 early morning show, 11,000 gone. So that's if you take 168 minus 31 minus 11, so it's close to 126,000. That's projected.
Okay. That's good enough. I'm going to ask a more general question here, because this coming year we really don't have the ability, unlike past years, I think, to just have every station come in at deficit spending. So if you were given instructions, in fact, this is the way I would think budgets would always be done, is you'd be instructed to write a balanced budget. That's realistic. And that might mean somebody has to get cut. It might mean you have to just play something at times where you're going to have to let somebody go. But there'd have to be some way for you to be able to create a balanced budget for your station, including paying essential services. And I would think normally when you do a budget, not only would you do that, but, you know, because a lot of things are kind of up in the air, you would have a descope plan so that if something came in, like if revenues were low, then you have a descope that you'd say, well, this person's going to have to get laid off. Or if revenues were up, you could have an upscope plan that you could say, oh, we're gonna hire some extra people to do this if our revenues are up. But you'd have some kind of plan, and you could be able to monitor it, you know, a few months into the year and make those kinds of adjustments, either to descope or upscope, depending on revenues compared to what your plan is. And the plan has to be has to be balanced. And it seems like for years, people, you know, who general managers have gotten away at some stations with running deficits for long periods of time. And of course, there's going to be periods where there's things just go to hell, like they did during COVID. But right now, you know, it's been too long that we've allowed that. And so if you were told to go write a balanced budget plan with a descope and upscope, you know, so if you had said, well, if we had the money, we'd do this, but if we don't, then we're going to do this other thing. You know, what sort of effort, you know, how long would it take you to come up with a real budget?
Well, so I'm going to give you an answer that's not a good answer that you want to hear. We are really cut to the bone. We have invested in rebuilding programming, which we are told is going to build an increased listenership and revenue. We haven't seen the revenue part yet. We've seen the listenership part. But, you know, the first thing that would go would be the morning show host, and that would be really disastrous. And that's only $58,000, $56,000 that we would save. And then when you go into development, you know, you have the webmaster has to stay there. The social media person is gone. I'm not going to replace that. We're going to figure out how to wing that. The newsletter that we sent and then the weekly dispatch is very successful, but if we have to do something, we'll have to do something with that. And then you have the fund drive people. They are raising money. The return on investment is better than anything else at the state. So this cannot go. Then you have the board app. So basically the bottom line is that, you know, and then I know you've heard that before over and over again, we better damn raise some money. And that's why I was excited, because I never saw any value in how each other way to raise money. But ever since this new thing about the PSAs that we can do, we are going at it. I mean, we are talking to the Harlem Chamber of Commerce, which supports small business, minority businesses. And then we're talking to a few other people to see if we can get, you know, PSAs, PSA revenue. The way I see it is we have to jack up our PSA revenue to like $30,000-$40,000 a month, and that would solve our problem. And then that should be aggressive by not only me, but by entire network, by, you know, the executive director, by the business manager, by the program director, general manager, by the board. I think this should be the one thing everybody focuses on, because this is a very low-hanging fruit. You know, I mean, obviously it is, because I caught some of that fruit. And, you know, if I can do it, I'm assuming that everybody can do it. And so that's what we want to focus on, you know, increasing the money to the PSA. That's the first time you actually see potential light at the end of the tunnel. And, of course, the other thing that I told you that would cut if we really came to the situation where we have to just cut. I hope I answered your question honestly. And
well, I hope so too. but at some point you may get this instructions that you have to be balanced, that you have to make your essential services, and yeah. You better have a plan for that. And if it requires you to fundraise more often, if it requires, you know, laying off people, it's got to be there. And you got to have it ready to go, because at some point there's not going to be any funds to bail you out,
yeah.
You know, unless, you know, something really changes in the economy. So I think you have to have that in place, and you should be going over it with Stephanie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I would like to do that. It's, you know, to go from the more painful, less painful to the more painful decision step, you know, from ranges from 1 to 5, and see, you know, if this happens, this could happen. I have that, you know, I play that over in my head all the time. And the same thing with James Alderton. We disagree a lot, you know, because it's like, I want cut. I want this balance. And it's like, well, I can, you know, there's not much I can do anymore. So he pushes me. And so that's not the first time I'm hearing this. You know, been thinking about this for at least 2 years now, on what to cut, what would be less disastrous of a cut, and how to raise money. But the raising money part, finally, the light at the end of the tunnel, finally.
Okay, thank you, Bertolt.
Thank you.
I still have Susan.
Susan, yeah.
We are. Hold on, Susan. Sorry. Can we get a motion to extend for 5?
Motion to extend for 5.
Any objection? Okay, that'll be 5. Go ahead, Bertolt.
I'm in Susan.
No, it's Susan.
I'm in Susan.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thank you. James, thank you for bringing it back to the hard truth. We also have to remember that not only are we looking at a deficit budget proposed to us today, but I believe the WBAI is currently in arrears on both power and rent, and is more than $1 million in arrears for past central services. So the hole is getting deeper. We are not balancing, and we are not paying back the debt that we have incurred. Very serious, tough things need to be decided. This is a failed business model. So I encourage James, R. Paul, Bertolt, Linda, all of you to really give some hard thought to this. Quick question. For the PSAs, which I think is an exciting new initiative, Bertolt, how much money have you actually received?
Okay. Well, the PSAs, I've actually received $10,000. I have billed $26,000. Just like us, the city takes like 2-3 months to pay you. We still have not billed for the January, which is another like $15,000, I believe. So I would have billed a total of what? This is only about $41,000.
So when was it that you initiated this program?
We initiated this in May 2022.
So you've got $10,000 in the bank so far?
Yeah, $10,000. In May 2022, the Department of Transportation, For the May campaign, we received $5,000, and we got paid August 29, 2022. So that's like 3.5 months later. And for the June campaign, we received $5,000 in September 27, 2020, another 3.5 months. And then, so then we started again, having this campaign starting in October, because the fiscal year of the Department of Transportation had ended, and then they were going over their budget. So, our budget like in September. So we started again in October. So we got October, November, December, and January. And then we started also having, at that point, the Department of Health reach out to us. So that's where we're at right now.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And Berto, what's the other department that's coming in now?
Department of Health, but we also, that's pretty solid. It seems to have more.
Well, there was another department that you were working with.
Yeah, we are.
Transportation, health, sanitation.
Sanitation, yeah. Recycling, garbage, and all that stuff.
Okay, I thought there was a fourth one. All right. So that takes us, that's the end of the stack. We have about a minute left. Stephanie, I was wondering if you had any comments or questions.
I don't. Any sort of budgeting or questions that I have, Bertolt and I would, talk about that together, but I don't have any questions for the group.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
By the way, FYI, concerning Stephanie, I had a few conversations with Markeisha this past week, talking about different aspects of the budget presentation and, what happened at the last meeting when I presented the budget and the numbers, So we're in communication, at least Markeisha and I, and I'm pretty sure Markeisha talks to Stephanie on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So I guess we've had some people declare their intention to vote against this budget. I'm sure there will be others who would declare their intention to vote for it. Could we discuss for a few seconds here where we think we are on this? Do we want to vote on this now? Do we want to hear more?
It's bad news, Dad.
Go ahead, James.
I think before we vote on this, I'd really like to see a plan for, for de-scoping and up-scoping, before, we pass it on to the PNB. It's really, these budgets should be something that don't require a bailout, or at least have a de-scoping plan to go with it if revenues, continue to fall or don't meet the budget. We just can't have every single station. There's just no money left to bail out.
When do you need that?
I don't know. I mean, I've written these scope plans for budgets that are far bigger than this, and it normally takes me, a few days because it's a plan. You can say, this is, you ought to be able to sit down and write it out in a few hours, I would think, because it's a plan. It says, if we don't meet our expectations by, March, then we're going to switch things. We're going to either let somebody go or we're going to go into a longer process of fund drive, or we're going to do something, but there has to be something there that says, what you're going to do. And it doesn't have to have so much detail, but it has to be a plan, and then you have to stick to it when you don't need it, and that's just the way you need to run something like this. And if it cuts something that you really don't want to cut, well, then find something else that you to cut. Just, you have to do something in the end, because we have to pay the people that are there, and we have to pay the tower and pay these other things. So there just has to be something in place. And I think that ought to, that if you're going to come in with a deficit, there has to be, that has to be, you really need that D-scope plan, and you're going to go through it. If you still are on track with a deficit, then you have to go with that plan.
Okay.
You know, you have hopes that it's going to, that you're going to have all this extra revenue and that maybe you won't be in deficit, but you know, hopes are great, but you know, you have to be realistic.
Anyone else?
This is Stephanie. I completely agree. I completely agree. And that's one of the things that I am wanting to implement and will implement as we move forward with these budgets, that once they are approved, they don't just get set aside and never looked at again, is that they are going to be reviewed on a regular basis with projections. And so we can try to catch any of these problems prior and make adjustments rather than figuring out what can we do after the fact. I know that the affiliates, they have created that plan on, you know, they have tiers of what will be cut and what will, you know, how they will make those adjustments if we, you know, when we're looking at their budget and projecting out, you know, a month at a time, we can start catching it before something may happen. And then we do have those plans as to what will be cut. So I completely agree that that's what we will be doing moving forward.
I have a question for Stephanie. I know you've been working with Michael Novick extensively at KPFK. Do you think you would have some time to work with Berthold on such a thing?
Of course, yes. Yes. That is one of the major roles of an executive director, is to deal with budgeting and forecasting and projecting, you know, projecting and making those adjustments and not just leaving it strictly in the hands of the general manager or the business manager. But yeah, Markeisha and I were, you know, on the phone for quite a few hours today just working with that, and we're more than happy to do that with all the other divisions as well.
Good. Anyone else? Okay, well, I think I don't think we necessarily need a motion here. I think Berthold is going to work on some upscoping and descoping and some revenue generation, which has been my emphasis for both the executive director and the general manager. And I hope that I'm hearing a voice. Is somebody trying to speak? Must
Sorry,
be background.
Okay.
Background.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think we can safely adjourn the meeting now with Berthold planning to work on his own, and also with Stephanie when available. And we'll have to revisit this. Is there anybody else who has anything else to say?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead, Berthold.
All those people who say this.
Arpal, please cover your microphone when you do that, okay?
Oh, hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Berthold.
Yeah, I would say that anybody who says they want to vote against the budget or for the budget, you know, please call me and drill down. Let's drill down. I mean, I didn't get any call, any email. Let's do it. You know, I would rather have this done via Zoom so that we can go over the same document and talk about it for those of you who use Zoom. I'm looking forward to you calling me and going over the budget, because I don't think it's fair. It makes sense for you to vote against it without giving me that courtesy and calling me and going over it. Thank you.
Point of personal privilege.
Go ahead, Paul.
If the chair is going to say we're adjourned, he should stick to that. And if he's not going to, he should do other stuff and then say we're adjourned. Thank you.
I will respond to that, Arpal. I never said we were adjourned. I said maybe we should adjourn, but I didn't say we were adjourned. And your editorial noises are not really in order. All right. I think now it is done.
Yes.
Who's this?
Susan, and I apologize. I hate myself.
Go ahead, Susan.
Okay. I just wanted to say I'm not voting no on the budget because of the questions about the numbers. I'm voting no because the budget does not provide for paying for central services. Thanks.
Okay. Actually, I will respond to that by just saying I think it does provide for paying for some central services, but we have questions also about whether the revenue projections are realistic. So, you know, it's complicated.
I agree. I move that we adjourn.
Yes, so I was just about to declare that we are adjourned because we're over time.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you all. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Art Paul. Thank you, Fred Blair, for streaming. And good night, all.
Good night.